left the gospel we've been reading and jumped over into the gospel of Luke for this festival of the Ascension. And there is a reason for that. Nobody else does the Ascension. Ascension Sunday is a major festival in the church year, not always noted by a lot of us these days, but one of the historic primary festivals of the church, and Luke is the only gospel writer who mentions it. Mark has nothing about it at all. Matthew and John sort of make some passing allusions to it, but Luke talks about it twice. He talks about the Ascension in the Gospel of Luke, and then in the other book that Luke wrote, this is one of the few books of the Bible we know where it came from, the book of Acts, he talks about the Ascension again. He mentions it twice. And there's a good reason for that. It's based in the perspective of Luke that he brings to us, the theology of Luke that he emphasizes about who Jesus is and who we are. And you know, each of the four gospel writers has a particular lens, a particular emphasis that they are lifting up. Mark is the earliest gospel, and his emphasis is on that inbreaking of the kingdom of God right now, turning everything on its head today. And that's the first earliest gospel written, you may remember. Mark is writing to an oppressed people, living under oppression and suffering under that. And so he's really emphasizing the hope that comes from God breaking in and turning this world on its head. Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience, and his emphasis is really on explaining how Jesus fulfills the prophecies of the Old Testament. You'll find that all the way through Matthew's gospel. John's gospel is the latest one written, and that's the one that's filled with a lot of very developed theology, a very high cosmic Christology in the gospel of John. Luke's emphasis, and through much of history, scholars have believed that Luke may have been a physician because he has a strong emphasis on healing. A lot of healing stories in Luke. And along with those healing stories comes this emphasis of being returned to community and the people of God being formed into community. The community is a heavy emphasis in Luke, and it makes that transition from the gospel, the story of Jesus' life, into the book of Acts, which is the formation of the community of people of God, which is the church. And he marks both of those stories with this link of the Ascension. Now, the story of Jesus' Ascension shows up at the end of Luke's gospel. That makes sense. It's like the last thing that happened in Jesus' life. And Luke lifts up this story because it validates who Jesus is in the gospel. The ascension of Jesus is the validation of everything that Jesus has done and said. It is the mark of his authority in the entire gospel narrative. He is taken up into heaven, because that is the sign that he is truly the called Messiah of God. So in the gospel, the ascension is the validation of, and the vindication of Jesus in the suffering and the resurrection. In the book of Acts, the ascension has a little bit different purpose, because it's not so much about the vindication of Jesus and the truth that he is the Lord of all and has all authority that he holds in his hands. But in the book of Acts, it is the calling and the authorizing of the community that Christ has created, which is the church. Now, I know you're all thinking, wait a minute, that's Pentecost next week. And true, we often call Pentecost the birthday of the church. But before Jesus empowers the church, he authorizes you. This is the story of Jesus authorizing you to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the repentance, which is the returning, the reshaping of our minds and hearts toward God, not just being sorry for our sins, but turning ourselves and being shaped by God, the repentance and the forgiveness of sins. You are authorized with the proclamation of the good news, the authority and the power that belongs to Jesus by right, and which is demonstrated in his vindication as he is taken up into heaven, removes him from this world. and the authority to proclaim the good news of repentance and forgiveness, and they're both good news. The authority to proclaim that withdraws from the earth, except that it is given to you. The authority of the good news is given to you. Now, authority is a word that sometimes has gotten a bad rap in our culture because we tend to equate authority with power, and there are some connections, but they're not the same thing. Because the power is coming later at Pentecost, but the authority comes today at the Ascension. And authority is connected in many ways with power, but we tend to sometimes think of authority in a negative way when we understand it as someone who has power over you. And we've had negative experiences, some of us, with authority from people who like to hold power over. But the authority with which Jesus authorizes you is not authority over, it is authority for. Authority for. This is like the authority of your doctor who has medical knowledge, and so they are able to prescribe for you things that will help you return to wholeness. The authority of your pastor is not the authority to say, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved, not so much. You're saved, you're saved. Nope, holding on to your sins. That is not the authority of the pastoral office, but the authority to declare to you with honesty and truth and knowledge and understanding that your sins are forgiven. You need your pastors to have some authority. It is good and right, because in that authority, we declare to you what equips you to take up the authority that has been granted to you by Jesus. And that is also the authority to declare the good news. You are authorized. You are authorized to be the bearers of this word. And it is not authority for you to decide who in the world is going to heaven and who is going to hell, who is righteous and who is a sinner. That's authority over. That is not authority for. But what you are authorized for is declaring good news, restoration, community, wholeness, peace, mercy. You are authorized to declare hope. You are authorized to declare forgiveness. You are authorized to declare good news. You are authorized. You have the authority with your mouth and your hands and your feet and your heart and all that you are authorized to declare and proclaim good news. Sometimes I'm not sure I want it. I mean, it would be easier if Jesus had kept all of that authority for himself, wouldn't it? Because then we wouldn't have any responsibility. It'd be easier if Jesus had just stayed on earth and continued for the last 2,000 years to walk among us so that nobody would have any doubts. It would be easier if he had kept the authority all to himself, because then he would have kept all the responsibility all to himself. He chose not to do that. He chose to withdraw from us and to authorize. And so we bear the responsibility and the authority to proclaim good news in this world. We proclaim it every week by coming here. We proclaim our faith by gathering in an identifiable, visible, tangible, worshiping body that honors God and asks God to renew us for our service in the world. We proclaim our faith in God's promise and hope. We declare the good news every time we gather in this place. But we also carry the authority of that good news with us when we leave. I don't know if you feel equipped for that. I find that often people struggle a little bit with believing in the authority that Jesus has given you. I find that sometimes people are very nervous about practicing that authority in, for example, praying with one another. Sometimes people are very nervous about praying unless they have something written down because they can't pray like the pastor prays. And I tell you again, I am not a pastor because I'm good at praying. I'm good at praying because I became a pastor. And you sort of have to. And it's just a fact that this act of using the authority to declare God's goodness that has been given to us, this act of praying for another person can make us nervous when we first start doing it. And we can stumble, and we can be unsure of what to say, and we might feel awkward, and we might feel clumsy. I did. But see, you don't have to do that on your own authority. The authority with which you pray isn't yours. You don't have to be good enough to pray for a sister or brother who is grieving or hurting or aching or rejoicing. You don't have to be good enough because Jesus has given you the authority to pray. And frankly, the more you practice it, the better you get at it. You have been authorized to declare good news. And I think that sometimes we forget that. But you are not standing on your own to proclaim this gospel. You have the authority to declare God's goodness. It has been given to you. And if you don't feel like you're well equipped yet, well then just wait, because next week the power comes to you as well. The authority does not come from you. It comes from Christ in your baptism. The power does not come from you. It comes from the Holy Spirit in your baptism. It is coming to you. The authority is granted to you. The power will come to you. And those two things together, those are the things that turn you from disciples to apostles. Because a disciple is a learner, right? One who studies, one who listens, and one who follows. But an apostle, apostles are the ones who proclaim. And you are called not only to be disciples of the good news, but apostles and proclaimers of the word. That is a gift to you. It is a blessing to you. But even more importantly, it is a gift and a blessing for all of those people who are waiting for a word. Christ's power is the power that holds us. Christ's authority is the authority given to us. Christ's forgiveness is the forgiveness we declare. Christ's power in the Holy Spirit is the power that equips us. You don't have to do this on your own. But the power and the authority to proclaim something good, that is yours. Thanks be to God.